National Rape Crisis Helpline recorded over 18,600 contacts last year. That's the highest level ever in Dublin's Rape Crisis Centre's 45-year history. The Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre is Rachel Morrow. Before we talk to Rachel, our reporter Mark O'Driscoll has been speaking to a number of people who are survivors of sexual abuse, and they want to see changes to prevent others from going through what they've experienced. And just a warning that the descriptions of some of the experiences recounted here may not be suitable for younger listeners.
My name is Paula Doyle and I'm a 51-year-old woman, mother and daughter and friend and sister. And I was coming home from a friend's house 4.5 years ago and I was attacked and raped. My personal experience of getting to trial, it just felt so inhumane and incomprehensible. The length of time that you have to wait, you're hanging by a thread. Your traumatic journey is met with unknowns, silences, obstacles, and personal intrusions. It's you're barely surviving, and the future doesn't matter for you. Our eyes, justice system just feels broken, so unfair, and at present damaging for victims. You're just seen as a witness to the state. Our convoluted criminal justice system just doesn't seem to be fair. You're just up against an iron wall and you cannot heal at present when your thread of a life has been put on hold.
My name is Chris. I'm based in Dublin. I'm in my early 30s. And the original reason I reached out to the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre in 2017 was that at the end of 2015, I experienced a sexual assault. I think in particular, we need to look at marginalized communities. You know, we're looking at communities like the LGBT community, people with disabilities, immigrant communities who are experiencing sexual violence and also have specific needs. And we need to have those needs need to be addressed, and we need to have more work, grassroots work with those communities in order to allow people to disclose their experiences of sexual violence and therefore to begin sort of the journey of highlighting the resources that they need and also to allow those people to heal from their experiences as well.
I'm Sarah. I'm the survivor of a quite a violent sexual assault in 2019. I'm also a lawyer and an author. I survived a very violent sexual assault in my own home by a burglar who broke into my bedroom in the middle of the night. And I had severe PTSD, so I turned to the DRCC for their counselling services. An issue I've always been very vocal about is the disclosure of survivors' counselling records in trials for rape and sexual assault. It's the only crimes for which this practice is allowed, but it's very much a second violation for survivors after the first violation they've already been through. It's completely disproportionate and outdated and really damaging to survivors because it either stops them from seeking the therapies they so desperately need to heal, or it stops them from seeking justice altogether, which is equally detrimental.
Now, Rachel Morrow, good morning. Thank you for joining us. And we'll talk about the issues that were raised in our three contributions there in a moment. But will you describe for me, in those 18,600 contacts that you list in your annual report, what is a contact and what is the experience for the caller?
Good morning, Mary, and thank you for having me on the programme. So those 18,600 contacts come from people who've in some way been affected by sexual violence. And because it's our highest number ever, it tells us that more people are reaching out for help, which is a good thing. But it also illustrates the scale of the problem of sexual violence in this country. The issues being raised on the National Rape Crisis Helpline are mostly related to rape as an adult. And the following two categories are callers seeking support about sexual abuse that they experienced as a child, or to get help for a sexual assault that took place as an adult. One concerning trend noted by our counsellors on the helpline last year has been a steady increase in calls from people who are experiencing suicidal ideation, and that was touched on by Paula there. And the data tells us that the number of calls we took where suicide was mentioned rose steeply for the second half of the year, and we finished 2023 with just shy of 500 calls in which suicide featured. And that may sound like a small proportion of those 18,600, but the trend is going in the wrong direction, and that's what we're concerned about.
And when people reach out to you in the Rape Crisis Centre, what do you offer them by way of initially, obviously, that contact through the helpline, and then for follow-ups and therapies?
So we have a full range of services. The first place to contact us is that 24-hour helpline, and that's a national service. The number is 1-800-77-88-88, and you can contact us by text, by web chat, by email, and by phone. That's the first point of contact. After that, we'll be able to triage using our crisis counsellors, which are a very experienced team of people, as to what services you need by way of follow-on. For those suicide where suicide is mentioned, we have a suicide policy in place, and we refer people onto specialist services where necessary. And in other cases, we need to spend significant time talking to people. We listen to them, we counsel them with whatever is going on in their lives.
And you heard issues raised there by Paula and Chris and Sarah, the question around the criminal justice system, issues around the disclosure of survivor records. These have been raised time and again. Are you making any progress on lobbying to change that system to make it a friendlier environment for survivors?
Thankfully, there is going to be a review of the rationale for using counselling notes as evidence in trials. And the perspective of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre and our clients is that we want the legislation changed so that you can no longer have those notes requested. We hear regularly about the impact of that request on our clients and on our therapists as well. It is deeply traumatic. And Sarah mentioned there that is re-traumatizing to have your notes requested. And we would absolutely agree with that. We would also agree with what she says about clients being faced with a choice about whether they have therapy or whether they choose to go down the road of justice. And that's a choice that no victim of sexual violence should have to face. Mm.
And I think Paula, they're talking about the system, she feels, is not being is not fair, that as a survivor, you are a witness to the case that is all about you, and yet you are there just as a witness.
Absolutely. And the first thing to say is that the numbers of people turning to the justice system after an experience of sexual violence is very low. Like, only 2% of women and just under 2% of men who've experienced sexual violence make a report to Gardaí, and only a proportion of those cases go on to get a conviction. So I think that there are things that need to be changed in the justice system, but there are some positive developments too. We know that there's a new provision in the Criminal Justice Miscellaneous Provisions Act, which gives judges additional discretion to hand down longer sentences for adults causing harm from 5 to 10 years. And there's also some good provisions in the Sexual Offences and Human Trafficking Bill that we hope gets passed shortly.
You talked about a concerning increase in suicidal ideation, increases in self-harm. There are other challenges as well, aren't there, that people bring with them? It's like a perfect storm, the financial pressures, marriage breakdowns that arise, issues around housing and homelessness.
Absolutely. Mental health has always been a big feature of our calls, but we have noticed this troubling rise in people talking about suicide. When we looked at the 2023 figures, we saw that every month the number of calls where people mention suicide increased. And I have to tell you that things aren't getting any better. When I looked at the data for the first 4 months of this year and compared it to the first 4 months of 2023, I saw that these type of calls have increased by 2.5 times. So there's clearly a problem there that we need to get in front of. And Dublin Rape Crisis Centre is asking anybody who is listening this morning who has not yet reached out for help to please contact us. We're here 24 hours a day.
And you have your volunteers on the helpline. You also have therapists. But have you waiting lists now, given the increase in those contacts?
It's always very challenging for Dublin Rape Crisis Centre because thankfully there is an increased demand for our services, so more people are asking for help. But meeting that increasing demand is really challenging. So there's no wait for any of our services except if you need to start therapy sessions with us. The first point of contact, like I said, is with the helpline, and that's 1-800-77-88-88. And our counsellors can refer people on to follow-up services when they're ready.
All right. Well, the Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre there, Rachel Morrow, and thank you very much. And I'll just repeat that, because for anybody who has been affected by sexual violence, you can contact that 24-hour national helpline for free, non-judgmental and confidential support at 1-800-77-88-88. You can also log on to rte.ie/helplines. It's coming up now to 10 minutes to 9.